Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. It's Friday, baby. Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live. We're in New York City. Look alive, gentlemen. March 11th. My name is Kay Adams, and I thank you, the audience at home, however you're taking in our show, for choosing to hang out with us for 3 hours today. We got a good one for you. We have Super Bowl champions Sean O'Hara and LeSean McCoy.
Good morning. It's a good Friday.
Yes, it certainly is. And then we had some really heavy discussions about wardrobe with our one Mike Garofalo, who's going top two buttons down. It's time for the lead block.
The lead block, release.
We have a big show. We got Jason Kelce to talk about. We'll have Eagles conversations. We've got to talk a little Bears. Another massive trade went down yesterday, just days before free agency frenzy begins. This time on the defensive side of the ball. Three-time All-Pro Khalil Mack will join the Chargers. Ooh, that's scary with him and Bosa in the AFC. Welcome, Russell Wilson, to the party. What do you got here, Polo?
Khalil Mack fits the Chargers scheme better than he fits what the new Bears scheme is going to be. So the Bears saying, well, let's save ourselves some cash. I believe it's 17 and change million this year and 6 million or so on the cap by making this trade. And the Chargers saying, well, we've got a rookie quarterback. I'm not a rookie quarterback, a quarterback on a rookie deal. Very different story. Who's playing out of his mind. This could be our window to hit it. We've seen it with teams before. When you get the young guy playing well, this is our chance to really go after it at other positions. So that is exactly what the Chargers are doing. And I spoke to Daniel Jeremiah last night. He does the Chargers broadcast. He also does some stuff here on the NFL Network. You may or may not have seen him here. And he said to me, he says, everybody's going to focus on the pass rush. Khalil Mack getting after the pass, the passer. He is one of the best edge setters when it comes to stopping the run.
Which is something the Chargers need.
It was a problem for the Chargers, Kay Adams, as you're well aware. So this is more than just, oh, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa getting after the passer. This is a complete player that when he is healthy, and he had a foot injury last year, but they believe he's going to be healthy. When he's healthy, he can be that complete player for this defense.
Love that. So just days after Russell Wilson heads to the Broncos, Khalil Mack joins the Chargers in the same division. Major upgrades all around. How does it shake up in your head as far as the hierarchy of the AFC West? Remember, I said the Broncos thing, it was the most well-rounded because the Chargers have a terrible defense they need to add to that really sort of changed and swung in their direction a bit yesterday.
Well, I think that the big guy on the mountain, I have to still go with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are still a good team. They still have that crown. They kind of own that division, even though you add all these different pieces. And I did say that the Broncos will win a championship.
You were excited.
This year, coming up, I just feel like you still got to dethrone them. I mean, they still have Patrick Mahomes and all his weapons. I mean, they still have a good offensive line, which they rearranged this year. And then you got Tyreek Hill. He's still a superstar wide receiver, and they're actually trying to restructure his contract right now. My old agent, Drew Rosenhaus, he talked about that. And then Travis Kelce, he's probably the number one guy, number one option that they go to. So with that offense and that team, and of course Andy Reid as the head coach and offensive coordinator, I see them guys, you know, making big noise. But that's a tough division, so we'll see.
I'm with you. Hail to the Chiefs. Look, they're the cream of the crop in that division, if not even in the NFL. And I think when you just look at all of the pieces offensively, it's, you know, we could do an entire topic and discussion on just Mahomes. But you mentioned Kelce, Tyreek, all of the offensive weapons they have, and the fact that they found a way to rebuild the offensive line in just 1 year to protect Patrick Mahomes, I think the Chiefs are still number one. They're on top in this division. But when you look at the division, we've talked a lot here on the show about, man, look at the quarterbacks. And now Russell Wilson's in that conversation. But let's shift from the quarterback talk to how do you stop those quarterbacks? How do you slow them down? Look what's happening defensively now.
That's right.
All right, Khalil Mack, the Chargers are bringing him for one reason, to stop Mahomes.
Of course.
Pair him with Bosa. So now it's, all right, we've got all these great quarterbacks. Now how do we get to them? How do we impact them? How do we slow them down? You're not going to slow down Mahomes, but if you can get to him, if you can hit him, if you can frustrate him, like we saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do to him.
If you're not being tripled on every play like Khalil Mack has been for the past 3 years, it's pretty effective.
So now him and Bosa, I mean, to your point about about Daniel Jeremiah. I think he's going to absolutely impact the run game. Mm-hmm. But I think when you look at what he can do with Bosa, they're going to put him on the same side. And now all of a sudden,
it's scary.
That changes things for quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, obviously, they're going to need to find a way to disrupt him because he's more athletic than probably all the other quarterbacks in that division. But I think the Chargers and the Broncos are starting to
They're closing the
footsteps
gap.
Now, if you're the Chiefs.
Should the Chiefs be worried? Because the tweets seem like they're a little bit worried. Not the end of it. Because, I mean, four straight AFC championship games, everybody else on paper can be great. It's the Chiefs until somebody takes care of business. It's absolutely the Chiefs. Should Chiefs fans be a little like, uh-oh, this is getting a little tight for my comfort?
I think so. How do you stop an explosive offense? You hit the quarterback. You get your hands on him, right? You rattle his cage a little bit. I think if you watch Patrick Mahomes, which he doesn't have a lot of flaws in his game. He has some, but not a lot. I think one of them is just from playing with him and being around him is he doesn't like to be, you know, defenders around his feet, around his face, around his hands. And as any quarterback, Tom Brady's a great quarterback, but he doesn't like to be touched. They have this area, this pocket. And once the defender's in that pocket, they don't feel comfortable. So the way you stop that, you have two elite pass rushers on different sides, on the left, on the right, and then you bring them in, you mush them in, and they close that pocket, and that's scary. So now that running around and going from left to right and reversing field, it's hard when you got two of them coming up.
It's like being an octopus and like swallowing up a ship and taking it down.
Are you looking at my shirt?
Wow.
Are you looking at my shirt?
Is this a ridiculous question? This is the question we're starting our show with. Is there a new hierarchy in the AFC West? It's the Chiefs, right?
It is the Chiefs, but to answer your question about whether people should be nervous in Kansas City, I think they should be. I'm very intrigued by the Chargers. Very intrigued.
Interesting.
Because now it's about Brandon Staley working with the front office and figuring out what fits what we do. Khalil Mack's coming in because that's going to help us in what we do run defense-wise and pass defense-wise. I also expect them to go strong in the cornerback market. I think there are going to be players there. Oh. Brandon Staley saying, you need three cornerbacks. You don't have starting cornerbacks until you have three of them. So I do expect them to make a push for one of the bigger guys, if not add a couple of guys to the position. And then I also expect them to work on the interior of their defensive line.
Okay.
I talked about Foley Fatukasi from the Jets yesterday.
Music to my ears. Bring him
on. I believe that the Chargers are going to be players for him as well as some other interior defensive line guys. So there are more additions coming on the defensive side of the ball to fit what they do. And I know everybody had their jokes about Brandon Staley and his fourth down decisions and what do you
I love him.
I love the aggressiveness.
Yeah.
I do. And I think he's going to spend the offseason figuring out just how aggressive to be, when to dial it back. And the final thing, Kay, for me is this is a team that's not afraid of the Chiefs.
They're not.
They stand up
to
them.
They can beat them.
They
beat the Chiefs.
And they have beat
them. That's right.
And I love that I'm saying everything, and LeSean McCoy's like, yep. Yep.
Mike brings it now.
We're all agreeing it's Chiefs. Then we're all just slotting in the LA Chargers over the Broncos, who now have Russell Wilson.
I am right now. Part of the reason is because we got a whole new staff in Denver. Mm. We got a first-time head coach, so that is yet TBD. We don't know what we're getting from that. But I'm glad you brought up the Brandon Staley thing and the fourth downs, the go for two. Because here's what happens. You know, this is the NFL. When you start building a team, you have a good team, and you start adding pieces in the offseason, everybody starts talking about, ooh, Super Bowl. Oh, boy, this team is loaded and loaded. And when they don't win games, guess who they look to blame?
Yeah.
Now the heat starts coming on the coach. So that's something to keep an eye on for Staley and the Chargers now as they're loading up this dream team here.
Yeah, I do want to just PSA. There was a lot, and we'll get to the, by the way, Chicago Bears fans, I know you're waking up and you're like, man, no more Khalil Mack. It's the end of an era. Good move long term. We'll get to that. So there's something going on where people are just trying to end players' careers early. Russell Wilson gets traded. He's over. He's washed. He's 33 and he's missed two career games. Khalil Mack, he was injured. He played hurt. Before 2020, I think he'd only missed a handful of games, if even that. So there's a lot of thought about guys who are more senior not making an impact when there's so much evidence to prove that veterans go and win championship rings.
It's very weird. And they
stop trying to end careers of players out
there.
Right.
Tell them, Kay.
You tell them, Kay.
That's right.
It's really annoying.
You talking about Andrew Whitworth?
Or Von Miller,
slept in his own bed.
It's like you have to be great all the time. I hate that. That narrative. Like you, because I've been there. You have successful years, right, in a row, year after year. And you might miss a year or two. Oh, is he over? Is he done? And a lot of it's from injuries or new coaches. But they don't care about that.
Yeah. Long-term, to me, great move for the future of the franchise. Sort of undoing what Ryan Pace did. Mega deal for Khalil did not work out. He's getting triple-teamed. He hasn't had double-digit sacks in the past three seasons. He's had some health issues. But I'm from a Bears perspective, to not get a first is like a dagger in my fandom's heart. But we got to get capital, and we got to try to protect our young quarterback. What do you guys think? What does it mean from a Bears perspective?
It means you're starting to put your own stamp on the organization. You're starting to compile collateral going forward. I mean, you could take that too. Maybe you turn that too into something more and you keep starting. That's the way you go about this if you're a general manager and do your own thing and roll things going forward because you didn't draft the quarterback either. Right. You didn't make the trade up for him. So if he doesn't play well this year and you say, okay, we need to have our, like I said, collateral going forward to maybe make a move at that position as well as the money. I mean, you get the cap savings of $6 million. You save the cash too, which we always talk about cap.
$6 million. If I'm a Bear, we're talking from the Bears perspective. I'm a Bears fan. I'm like, we just got rid of Khalil for a second and a sixth, and we're saving $6 million on the cap. What are we even going to get?
It's $6 million on the cap, but it's $17 million in cash that you can now use. Again, I really, like I stress that to people. I know we talk
big.
So much about the cap, but it's the cash a lot of time. Now you can use that
I like that because if he goes and gets Teron Armstead to protect Justin Fields, then I'm all in on this. So Bears fans who are freaking out, the puzzle is not completed. They're just getting the pieces in line.
I think when you look at that cash versus cap aspect, that's a second degree. Like, some people have to go to college to figure all that stuff out. But, yeah, to your point, now all of a sudden that frees up the opportunity to go get some pieces to help build this team. Look, Khalil Mack is a phenomenal player, and there's not an offensive lineman in the NFL that wants to deal with him 55 plays, one-on-one, and think that you're going to have a good game. So, absolutely, he's a great player. I know for Bears fans, it stinks for them. They have the 52 jerseys now that they are going to have to replace. But I think when you kind of look at this on a macro level, this was a huge move for Ryan Poles.
Right.
You're talking about putting his stamp on this. No, how about this is the very first decision, big decision he's ever had to make. He's a first-time GM. And you know what? I think he nailed it.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Poles did exactly why he was brought to Chicago. Clean up
Gutsy.
The mess.
He would have nailed it.
It's not just about $6 million this year. You know what the cap space they're going to have in 2023? With this move, they're going to have $121 million in cap space for 2023. So this is big picture here. Yeah. And Robert Quinn just set the record, the sack record.
He broke Richard Dent's single-season record in sacks, and it didn't really make a dent in their playoff. I'll say this, under Khalil Mack, the pun I put together, but I read that thing about how it didn't move the needle, I think, was the article that I read this morning. It's interesting. They had Khalil Mack. They brought him in. They paid so much to get him, though.
Right.
That's where.
Right.
You guys aren't thinking about it from a Bears fan perspective. From a Bears fan perspective, defensive player in his prime wasted away. Mm-hmm. We had zero play. Think about that.
Well,
zero playoff wins with
zero.
They were going to cut him.
But then you look at what you get. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to tell you, God gave you two eyes in the front of your head and none in the back. You got to look forward.
And that's what they're doing. They're
the
moving forward.
Well, I think there was no guaranteed money. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike G.
She's going to cry.
There was no guaranteed money left in Khalil Mack's contract. So they were going to cut him. And instead of cutting him and basically getting nothing, they got a second-round pick. Now, Bears fans, remember this. You don't have a first-round pick. You used it for Justin Fields the year before. So now with that second-round pick, they've got two picks in the first 50 picks of the draft. This is a very deep draft. This could be a very good first two picks for the Bears moving forward.
But in order to move forward, I have to sulk a little bit.
I think Bears fans are sulked enough.
You can't take my sulk away. Look at, and just after all they gave up to get Khalil Mack, the return they got was less than what Denver got in exchange for half a season of Von Miller. Now, you take a step back. You have to realize Mack making the money he's making over the next 3 years.
She got a little bit more than that.
That drives down the trade value a little bit. So that's why they got a second instead of a first. But don't you think they should? I wish they'd gotten just a little more. But it also, I think, sends a message to everyone saying, we're rebuilding.
Yep.
We're open for business. My name's Ryan Poles. Come talk to me. Those two eyes in front of my head are looking forward, but those moves
have to go. There you go. We got there, Kay.
We got there.
It's been a great segment to get you from sulking to excited about the future.
She's literally excited. There is a little bit of a glare, though.
Chicago girl, she feels it, man.
The Bear fan.
You lose Khalil Mack and Aaron Rodgers is signed 4 years more?
Yeah.
Chicago girl, she may feel that, you know?
Just wait till Trubisky signs a mega deal. Then Bears fans are really going to
You know what? I would be doing cartwheels. I've defended Trubisky in this very seat every week as a Chicago Bears starter. We'll be back.
Trubisky.
Steelers. Who's their next franchise quarterback? Welcome to Good Morning Football. We're live in New York City. It's March 11th. Free agency frenzy is around the corner. It all kicks off on Sunday. We got you covered from here to then and throughout next week right here on NFL Network. Super Bowl champion Sean O'Hara in the building.
It's Friday.
Lead block. All right, we got lots to get to. There was a trade that went down yesterday, just days before all of the craziness begins, this time on the defensive side of the ball. Three-time All-Pro Khalil Mack joining the Chargers. Any details you'd like to give, Mike, as I'm making my way through the phases of grief?
Yeah, I want to be careful with what I talk about here, is because Kay Adams, as a Bears fan, still coming to terms with what they gave up years ago for Khalil Mack and didn't get back as much. Now, listen, he's
She's a little
career.
Buttoned up, huh?
Mm-hmm. I would say, a lot of times you say, well, they gave up less because they have to take on the contract, but at the time of the trade a couple of years ago, they had to give him the contract. But he was just that good, that early in his career. Yes, Kay, I know.
He used to be really buttoned up.
The Bears didn't capitalize on Khalil Mack the way that they probably should have throughout his prime, but he's still got good football left. The Chargers believe that he and Joey Bosa will make a formidable duo on either side of the end, not just
as
pass rushers, as run defenders as well. So the Chargers starting to fit pieces more toward what Brandon Staley wants to do in his defense. They feel confident that by the end of this free agency, they're going to have themselves some really good pieces on that defense front. Two back, Khalil Mack just one of them.
Music to my ears. Chargers, I want to love you. I do love you, but your defense was atrocious. You couldn't stop the run for anything last year. What a brilliant move for them to do that in this trade. Now, Khalil joins Russell Wilson in the AFC West. The AFC West is just so fun.
So loaded.
Mm-hmm. The Seahawks are in the market for a quarterback, as we know. And if we take a look at Lance Zierlein's latest mock draft, he has Seattle selecting Liberty's Malik Willis with the 9th pick, the first quarterback off the board. 8 picks later, yeah. Zierlein has the Steelers trading up with the Chargers to draft your boy, Pitt's Kenny Pickett, 17th overall.
Keeping him home, baby.
Now, there's still a whole free agency frenzy between right now and the draft. NFL Network, of course, has you covered Sunday starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. What do we think of the move for Pittsburgh? What should they do at their quarterback situation, and how should they handle it, LaShawn?
I'm thinking they should go out there, right, look all around for this one kid in the same city, Kenny Shane Pickett. I think with these little hands that they talk about, he had 42 touchdowns, right? 4,300 yards passing. I mean, this guy, he can do it. He's a senior. That means he's a vet on a college level. You bring him as a rookie, I think that he's going to be more polished than a regular rookie that leaves early. And also, man, like, he's played in that city where he's played in the cold, right? He's next door. You don't have to travel far. You can just walk right over to the Steelers, you know, franchise and ownership over there. Talk to them guys. Let them know what he wants to do, how he's going to play, and be their franchise quarterback. So keep him home.
Is that a good place for a rookie to go? You have Najee. You have Tomlin. Seems like a nice fit.
I think so. I think you have a great coach. Coach is going to do the best for his players. Every player that talks about Mike Tomlin, they love him. I've met him a couple of times. I love him to death. I think the guys in that locker room, that franchise, that's like the only franchise I feel like who they really love their players, right? They're one of the most loyal franchises. You look at all the players they had, all the greats. They keep them for a lot of years. They treat them right with the contract. So I love them there. I think that with the defense, with the running game, Najee Harris, I mean, he's a proven young rookie that's going to have a great,
best friend, yeah.
Yeah, great career. So why not? That's the old Steeler football. Run the ball, great defense. Have a gutsy, gritty quarterback. That's Kenny Pickett.
The Pitt Panthers and the Steelers share a building there,
they
right?
Share a building.
The facility.
We will walk right across.
Oh. Yeah.
What's that weight room called now?
Aaron Donald weight room.
Yeah.
But back to when the Steelers took James Conner in the draft.
Right.
That was a big factor. We share a building. We know everything
about
him.
You see him every day.
You see him every day. Mm-hmm. You know his work habits. Yep. You know his work ethic. You can talk to people. You've got the relationships there.
Huh.
So if they feel good about it, they're going to have a better feel for him than anybody else in the entire league. So we'll see if that winds up being the case. To me, you could do that, by the way, and also do what I'm going to suggest, which is to sign Mitchell Trubisky. And my belief right now is that there is interest from the Pittsburgh Steelers in Mitchell Trubisky. I had Trubisky pegged for Washington. That's where I was sending him. And then they traded for Carson Wentz. So now I think Trubisky is going to reboot a little bit. I still think he's going to get way more money, certainly than he got last year. All of a sudden, he's the belle of the ball this year in the free agent quarterback class.
What's that?
His ability to move.
Mm.
Because Matt Canada and what he wants to do as an offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, they couldn't do it with Ben Roethlisberger. They tried to manufacture it a little bit. Well, there's ways to do the read option stuff.
Right.
with a quick throw instead of a run, but now you've got the quick throw and now the potential to move. Whoever they wind up with is going to be a quarterback that can move. Mitchell Trubisky could be that guy. I understand he didn't play much in Buffalo, but for whatever reason, now he is the guy on the free agent market this year. And everybody looks back to what happens in Chicago and says, why didn't they get the best of him? Maybe the Steelers can.
We've watched his career, and Chicago fans can tell you this. They were not impressed at all. I don't understand why everybody's so, like, crazy on Trubisky.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think he had a lot working against him in Chicago. He had some nice performances late in games, and he showed some things that running ability is underrated. But it's more about this. You're a business guy, LaShawn.
It's about this?
It's about that, yeah. You look at why is he the free agent belle of the ball, where I want him to go to Indy. Well, I don't know why. What is he going to command on the market? Mitchell Trubisky, $10 million? Why can't he be a Tannehill? The next Tannehill. You put him in Indy. We talk about all that money that they have. Get him on a cheap deal. So the Steelers, it's either look at the draft and get your boy Kenny Pickett, or you get somebody that has some experience, maybe some untapped potential, has a great coach like Tomlin there to uncork it and hand it off like that. I can see why it's attractive, because of value. It's not about how good he is. He all of a sudden became great as the backup quarterback up there in Buffalo. People like him. It ends up being, it's not ideal, but can you compete with this guy and a $10 million contract for 1 year? How can you pass that up when a team like the Steelers are built to win in 2022?
Yeah, I think when it comes to quarterbacks, Kay, the reputation is what drives your salary, what drives that number. So because Trubisky has now had a year removed from the Bears, his reputation has gotten better, and now he's in Buffalo. So now it's like, oh, this guy's a winner now, even though he didn't really win any of those games. So it's funny. The NFL loves to recycle quarterbacks. I think Mitch Trubisky, I think he should get another shot. I think the one caveat with him is going to be, what happens with the market? Because now all of a sudden, if two teams start to like Mitch Trubisky, that number is going up.
Oh, way up.
I think back to the Chicago Bears one time paid Mike Glennon $16 million to not play. So for anybody to think that Mitch Trubisky is going to get anything less than $20 million a year, it's not happening. So he's going to get good money. He needs is two teams to really just get it, create a market for him. And then a third team comes in, and now all of a sudden, you know, it's a free-for-all. I like what you're saying about Mitch Trubisky to the Steelers because of what he brings to the run game. So I'll say, look, I think Mitch could be really good for Najee Harris, really good for Matt Canada and that offense. But also throw out, you're talking about for the Steelers, that they need somebody that can help win now and not somebody that's going to cost them a ton of money.
Right.
Marcus Mariota could be that option.
Sure.
If Mitch Trubisky goes off and he ends up being, hey, he's the big cash cow, he takes the big deal, Mariota could slide in there to Pittsburgh, and on a very cap-friendly deal, they could still draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
And then you bring in a guy like Marcus Mariota to push Mason Rudolph, or to hopefully he becomes a starter. We've kind of forgotten about Marcus Mariota. We see him come in packages with the Raiders. He had a winning season almost every year, I think, when he was in Tennessee. And I remember we were showing graphics of how good he was in the red zone and how good he was with the football. He had thrown like 50-some touchdowns without throwing an interception. So there is some ability there. And I think what he can bring to that RPO, the run game, look at the division. Baker can move. Lamar, we just talked about how he is a top five quarterback. Right. Joe Burrow can move. I think Pittsburgh needs a quarterback that can impact the defense with his legs, can move around, get himself out of trouble. And I think Mariota could be a very viable option, and it wouldn't be too pricey. It wouldn't cost them the buttons on their shirt.
So Mariota isn't crazy, but Trubisky is? You were like, oh, Mariota is it?
I mean, that's because he can run really, really well. Okay. I think he can do that read option. I just think as a player, I'm in the locker room, and I'm hearing we're going to get Mitchell Trubisky. I'm not excited. I'm sure the teammate next to me is not excited. Okay, wow. $20 million? I just don't see that franchise getting any better with him coming there.
Free agency, almost officially kind of sort of here. So let's break it down with something we call Journalism 101. A lot of school talk on the program lately. In addition, guys, to the quarterbacks, there are a lot of other players at a lot of other positions looking to test the free agency market this offseason. Who's going to be the biggest steal of this year's free agency situation? Garofolo set the table.
It's going to be Tim Settle, defensive lineman. Sorry? Yeah, that's all right. Tim Settle, defensive lineman for the Washington Commanders. Washington wants to retain him. Here's the problem with Settle. He's playing on an extremely deep defensive liner has played in a stream. He's played 1,000 snaps over the last 4 years. As a way of comparison, Jonathan Allen's played 3,000. So Settle, I believe, is a fifth-round pick for them. Had 5 sacks a couple of years ago when he played 33% of the snaps because Matt Ioannidis got hurt. So this is a guy who's been extremely productive. He just hasn't had the chance to do it. Now, he's going to get a really good deal for a guy that hasn't played much. He'll probably get $5, $6 million per year. It'll probably be a short-term deal, though, because he wants to go somewhere where he's got a chance to play a bunch to set himself up for that big contract going forward. You take his production in a small period of time and compare it to guys who play much. I mean, Aaron Donald, we can do that whole thing with a defensive lineman. He's a really good player, and he's going to get an opportunity to play somewhere.
All right.
I'm going to go with Leonard Fournette. I'm sorry, I should say Lenny, playoff Lenny.
Yeah, playoff Lenny.
When I look at the Buccaneers, first of all, when I played there with the Buccaneers, we were a good team. We had Tom Brady, we had Mike Evans, and we had Chris Godwin. You know, I can name a few guys, right? Gronk. But when we start really rolling, we got
correct
to the playoffs, and they gave the ball to Lenny. They were throwing it to him, running it to him. He dominated.
Lombardi Lenny.
Lombardi Lenny. So, and then as we move forward, he got banged up a little bit this year, but when he was in the game, he made a difference. Like, Tom felt safe with playoff Lenny or Lombardi Lenny in the game. I think that any team that will get him, they will be so happy. I think when he got to the Bucs, he learned how to be a professional. He got drafted high in Jacksonville. Things didn't work out, right? You go to a team where you get humbled. There are all these, you know, Hall of Famers around you, all these great players, all these Pro Bowlers, and you have to check your ego at the door. And I was there with him in the classroom, working with him, learning from him. And he's where he's at right now, top notch. He's the best running back in the market right now.
Wow.
Whatever team gets him, make sure you pay him good and let playoff Lenny or Lombardi Lenny take over because you need him.
I love the nicknames. Lombardi Lenny, playoff Lenny.
Free agent Lenny.
Red Fournette.
Look, I mean, pay him Lenny.
Yeah, he's about to get paid.
That's
leisure,
right.
Now he's going to be Leisure Suit Larry after he gets paid.
There you go.
I love the way how physical he was. You know what? Look,
physical.
We were talking earlier this morning about how if you don't have three corners, you don't have enough. And I think the corner market's going to go. It's going to go buck wild. Kind of like Mike G's shirt right now with the buttons.
Mike G's having a time.
Things are going to be popping. And I think
things going to be popping.
We've got Stephon Gilmore out there. We've got J.C. Jackson. We've got some of the Cinderellas
ballers
of the ball out there. They're going to get some big time money. But there's a guy named Carlton Davis III, a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
He's very
teammate,
good.
Who's kind of under the radar, I feel like, because of those big name guys. And I think a team's going to sign him. And he's quietly going to be one of the biggest pickups this offseason. Now, he got dinged up a little bit last year, missed 7 weeks with a quad injury. But when you look at what he has had to do in Todd Bowles' defensive scheme, look, if you play corner for Todd Bowles, you are on an island. Like,
that's right.
We'll put you out there.
Man on man, baby.
Like, we are bringing the heat. It works out majority of the time, not so much against the Rams when they for the love of the gameplay. But
okay.
I think when you look at what he has done over the last couple of years, he leads the league in pass breakups over the last 3 years. He's got 48, more than anybody else in the league. Now, you'd love to see those be interceptions and not just batting the ball down, but I think Carlton Davis is going to be a big steal this free agency.
City. My name is Kay Adams. Thank you for joining us. Mike Garofolo is here. So is Super Bowl champion Sean O'Hara and two-time Super Bowl champion LeSean McCoy. Sunday, free agency frenzy. Oh, this is going to be a wild next 55 minutes, and I'm here for it. All of our insiders bring you live breaking news in every block of
all
studio
of
for all 32 teams. Mike Garofolo, will you be on Sunday? Mike?
What's that? Yes, I will be on.
You will.
1 o'clock. I'm used to working at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. So
free agency frenzy Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Okay, guys, we're going to focus, get this thing back on the rails, and take a look at the top five teams with the most projected cap space.
A lot of watches.
They will really have some room to operate. So which team will you have your eyes on when free agency frenzy begins, Mike G, at 1 p.m. on Sunday?
Give me number 4 on that list, the New York Jets. Talking to somebody the other day who said they are very interested in spending the owner's money. Good, because there's a lot of it, and there's a lot of needs on this Jets roster. Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh now in year 2 of Saleh really got to get that defense humming. You could make some additions on the back end. They've got Marcus May themselves, but May could wind up walking going elsewhere. I've seen some people try to connect him to Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu would be awesome. If I'm the Jets,
that would be great.
That would be a great fit, because right? he's a culture setter. Really? And listen, I could go back in the past and talk to myself way back when I was covering Tyrann Mathieu coming out of college and say, one day you're going to talk about him as a culture setter. But he is. He absolutely is. And the Jets need that badly. They need help on the back end of their defense. I think the Jets are going to be extremely active on both sides of the ball, but particularly on defense.
LaShawn, your whole energy changed when he mentioned Tyrann Mathieu to the Jets. Great fit.
Great fit. I mean, he's a heck of a player. Just not only just as a player on the field, it's more off the field. He keeps that defense in line, right? He keeps that team, he impacts the team in so many different ways. Talk about being a leader. Now, he doesn't say a lot of words, but when he talks, everybody listens, from Patrick Mahomes down to Chris Jones. And mm-hmm. I think you need a player like that on your team that gets it going. Enough about the Jets.
Yeah, right?
Enough
about
the Jets. Come on, man. I'm going back home.
Another green.
To the other green, the big green, Philadelphia Eagles. I think when I look at this team, I see them win this division. I feel like the Cowboys are up and down, right? And the Washington is, they have Carson Wentz now, so I don't see that making too much noise over there. I love what the Eagles have. I think that they should go out there and probably get a wide receiver. I was thinking about Will Fuller, a guy that can stretch the field, potentially against somebody in the draft, maybe a young player that can make some moves, or I think they should go out there and get Allen Robinson.
You like this A-Rob to Jalen.
Yeah, because the thing is, you have a young quarterback that has a lot of potential, and he's still young. Last weekend, I was at an event, and I seen Dallas Goedert, and we were talking just about, like, how good mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts can be. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, what are the things you think he can work on? Now, I won't name everything, but it wasn't a lot of things. It was, like, more just experience, being out there in the field, just learning different coverages and going through that rookie and young phase. He also said about trust. He trusts Dallas, and he trusts Devontae Smith. Now you go out there, you get you a veteran, Allen Robinson.
I don't even know that we've seen the best out of Allen Robinson. I really don't. He has a prolific season, 1,600-yard season, but look at his quarterback play.
Look at his quarterbacks. Anyway, you go out there.
DeAndre Johnson?
You go out there and get a wide out like that. They make plays. He's an older vet that knows what to do, how to be a professional. Go out there, and he's your number two. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If you're the guy that's a number two and a superstar, young rookie, but his next year will be in the second year. But Devontae Smith as your number one, that's destined for success. I'm telling you.
I would love that.
With Miles Sanders in the backfield?
They're pretty nice.
It's pretty dangerous. I love that you guys are both going green. We're talking about cash right now. So cash.
A lot of cash, baby.
Around me, Cream, get the money. Can we see that full screen?
Ooh, Cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all.
What's happening?
Can we see that screen again? Because I just want to see one thing. Yeah, where are they? My Cincinnati Bengals. That's who I'm going with on this. I thought they were on this list. They were at $49 million, and then they tagged Jesse Bates. So that bumped them down to sixth.
Bring them down.
The Cincinnati Bengals at $34 million in salary cap space. They were so close. You were just there, right at SoFi. I mean, people thought you were going to win the Super Bowl. You had the Rams right where you wanted them, and they couldn't finish the game. They couldn't finish it all. So the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, you're the second best team in the NFL right now because the Rams are number one.
Right.
You have space. I'm curious to see what they do. How do you take this team to the next level? I mean, this should be your division now. So what kind of pieces are you going to add?
Big pieces.
They're not typically a team that goes out and spends a lot of money in free agency. Trey Hendrickson was somebody they went out and got. They went out and got DJ Reader.
But DJ Reader, they
locking up Bates. Reader. I think the one area you would say that they could use some help is corner. And we were just talking about the corner, you know, Carlton Davis I talked about. We were talking about Stephon Gilmore, J.C. Jackson. There's some really good corners out there. I would not be shocked to see them go out and try to get one. You had another position group in mind, offensive line, I'm
sure.
There
you
go. Right. A lot of really good offensive linemen.
A lot of good
free agents.
I can
see them going with that. But
need some of those.
I mean, there's a ton of great guys. I know you've been pumped with Richard Williams, but they have a left tackle.
Of course. When they franchise tagged Jesse Bates, how did you feel? I was like, excuse me? You're not going to pay him?
I was fine with it from the standpoint of...
Heck of a player.
You know, I think they keep him. Like, you don't want to lose him. That's the one thing.
I think he's a young piece you pay. That's right. You got to pay him. Franchise tag.
The spirit of the franchise tag is we're going to tag you so that it gives us more time to work out a long-term deal.
Yeah, so
let's
work it out, Bengals. That's what I want to see. I'll go to the Dolphins. I've crafted
on
my GM hat, and I've crafted a long list of things. This is the team, guys, back-to-back seasons, winning record, no playoff panache to show for it. We got to get you there. You got a new head coach down there, Mike McDaniel. Hopefully we'll reinvigorate some things. I know I look like I've been hit by a baseball today, but I've just been, like, I'm done talking about the run game and the Dolphins. 30th last year, I've said it a million times over the past 2 weeks or so, they got to do something to add to that. There's some free agents that are interesting. Right. You have to do that. I'm looking at their cap space. Why are they so intriguing to pull that full screen up again? Second most cap space in the entire league. They need an offensive lineman. They got to protect Tua if Tua's their guy. They've got an all-pro guy in Brandon Scherff, Super Bowl champion center. Get the angry guy. Get Ryan Jensen in there.
I love it.
To protect
Tua.
Ryan's a beast. I would love to see it. They're trying to form a new identity under Coach McDaniel. We want to see what it looks like. They also need to throw it off the edge. I like a Hassan Reddick. I think
I like that.
Should go with that. Sack machine named Chandler Jones, I think would also be a cute fit there in the AFC East back there. And yeah, the win just, they're
Lenny?
There.
Any love for Lenny? They need a running back.
I got some love for Lenny. Do I have some love for Lenny? I think
that's some love for Lenny.
Anybody, add a running back so they can do something and offset and take it off of Tua's shoulders a little bit. And if there's any guy that's going to do it, it's Mike McDaniel and the Kyle Shanahan-based run game.
True.
And that's why I asked you so much about even Brees.
Brees
yesterday, would he be a fit in the draft to go to Miami? Because they need help, and we are hearing that there's some...
That's a great fit.
Oh, that is
a
good fit.
I was thinking about that even after
Brees
the show.
Hall?
He's because he's got the patience for what they do, and he's got that breakaway. Because they, the way they design their runs, Mike McDaniel does, they have a lot of home run hitting runs. So you need a guy that can get into the open field and then just run away from people. He could do that.
And they always had success on a running game back then with the 49ers.
All right, Twitter, do your thing. Fill in some blanks for us. We asked you which free agent would be the perfect fit for which squad, and here's what we got. Fill in the blanks. Remember these from back in school? What do we got? All right, this one's coming to you, Sean O'Hara. Chandler Jones, perfect fit for the Broncos.
Wow, okay. Chandler Jones and Bradley Chubb.
All right, I think Von Miller might have something to say about that. He's been talking about things on the gram about wanting to return Tyrann Mathieu to the Commanders, LeSean.
Nah, I don't think he would like that. They want to win. And he wants to win. I don't see them guys win anytime soon.
Because the Eagles are winning the division,
as
you said. Okay, Broncos win the Super Bowl, Eagles win the division. That's what I've learned this week. How about Allen Robinson, a perfect fit for the Colts, LeSean?
I think so. I think this guy has a lot of time to really showcase he still can play. You know, he's a hell of a receiver, man.
I thought we had him in Philly.
I mean, the Colts will work out for him, too.
Okay.
You know, when they get
All right.
That was perfect fit. That was a different segment.
Mikey Buttons, this one's coming to you. Bobby Wagner, perfect fit for the Steelers.
Talk much,
Bobby Wagner.
Yeah. I don't know. I got to think about that one.
A different scheme.
It is a way different scheme. Yeah.
Hey, great analysis. Yeah. Thanks so much. Trey Flowers, Patriots. Anyone?
Bring him back home. Yeah, bring him back home. That first started that.
Doesn't this always happen for the Patriots?
Leave and then come back? Yeah, wouldn't be the only guy who went to Detroit and came back to New England in the last couple years. So
that's their thing.
Tell me more about Bobby Wagner.
I can't wait to see.
Well, Sean said it best. Like, I got to fit the scheme. I also, maybe he wants to be out west and say hi to the Seahawks every now and then.
How's your Twitter looking?
I don't read my mentions.
You don't?
They're talking about your buttons.
I love mentions. I tend not to.
I dabble every now and then. But,
oh, my gosh. What else do you do in the car? That's all I do is look at
What do I do
mentions.
In the car? Drive.
Oh, there's that.
If I call you Buttons, will you answer?
If you call me Buttons?
Yeah. That's a cool nickname. Hey, Buttons.
Mikey Buttons.
Mikey Buttons.
Mikey Buttons.
Mikey Buttons. That's nice.
That's what I said, right?
Mikey Buttons.
Oh, I'm thanking LeSean for the week. I think I can handle that. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend. Jeff Wheatley and the entire control room at NFL Films. LeSean McCoy, you were incredible this week. Thanks for the energy.
Can we get like, it was fun. Great job. I mean, you got to celebrate with the week you had. So give me the,
No, I'm being humble. I'm a humble guy now.
Hey, you just.
I'm a humble guy now.
I'm a humble guy now.
Then I'll do it. Then I'll do it.
Me and Buttons.
Hey. Kelly's grimacing somewhere.
Wait, Sean, can we get some love? No dancing.
Yeah, man, I love you, man.
Okay, all right.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey.
Peace.